manuscript into final form, and he and his team, including publicist Lissa Warren and others, developed the book's jacket and touted the book's attractions. Jeffrey Ward's skilled maps complemented the text. My writing mentor, naval biographer Thomas Buell, and my history advisor at the University of Notre Dame, Dr. Bernard Norling, profoundly influenced me with their advice. Although neither is now with us, their kind words and wise counsel remain with me each day. The support and advice of my extraordinary agent, Jim Hornfisher, helped me attain a dream that otherwise might not have been realized. I have been blessed with the support of a nurturing family. My older brother Tom, who served so nobly as a naval aviator during the Vietnam conflict, offers encouragement and exhibits pride in what I do. The memories of my parents, Tom and Grace, and of my younger brother Fred, prod me to give my utmost. My daughters, Amy, Julie, and Karen, put a smile on my face with their unquestioned love and support for what I do, and make me proud of the people they have become. My four grandchildren, Matthew, Megan, Emma, and Caitlin, keep me young at heart with their vibrant personalities and amazing stream of achievements, and help me to remember that my main duty as an author is to make certain that the deeds of a past generation are not forgotten by those that follow. My invaluable companion of more than two decades, Terry Fytel, a marvelous mathematics teacher, scrutinized my manuscript to dig out errors and to make certain the text made sense. I rely on her more than she may realize. John F. Wukovitz, Trenton, Michigan, June 30th, 2016. Part 1. Origins of a Squadron. Prologue. Admiral William F. Halsey had not been this satisfied since before the war. As he looked across the waters of Tokyo Bay on August 29, 1945, from the bridge of his flagship, USS Missouri, the battleship nicknamed the Mighty Mo, a conglomeration of battleships and cruisers steamed behind in a long line stretching to the horizon. Those ships, and others like them, had outslugged the Japanese in surface actions and pounded their installations and landings from the Solomon Islands to Okinawa. Farther out at sea, the formidable fast carrier task forces and their swarms of aircraft that dominated the naval war in the Western Pacific in 1944 to 1945 guarded against surprise kamikaze attacks. The United States had won a long, grueling war, largely due to those ships and other weapons sent to the front lines through an uninterrupted pipeline connecting the American military to home front factories and shipyards. As one of the top two naval commanders in the Pacific, Halsey played a prominent part in the victory, gaining accolades and winning battles from the first day of war to the last. He became the nation's darling for his audacious actions, and for 4 years he looked forward to the moment he would enter the bay, promising along the way to ride Emperor Hirohito's famous white horse through the streets of Tokyo. Halsey described the entry into Tokyo Bay as the supreme moment of my career, and said, "Every man-jack among us was looking toward one moment, the moment we would anchor in Tokyo Bay." Halsey might justifiably have placed his Missouri in the first spot, giving the battleship the honor of taking the victorious United States fleet into Tokyo Bay as conquering heroes come to lay claim on a defeated foe. He instead handed that recognition to a trio of destroyers, O'Bannon, DD-450, Nicholas, DD-449, and Taylor, DD-468, smaller vessels, dwarfed in size by Mighty Mo, which followed them in line. Halsey's love of destroyers, the dashing ships whose speed and offensive punch matched his aggressive personality, had started early in his career. He considered himself a destroyer man, even when he rose to higher command, for those ships that sliced low through the water, with the wind slapping his face and the sea salt coating his lips, were in his DNA. The crews of 330 officers and enlisted forged a tight unit, something that the Missouri and her crew of 2,700 could not hope to achieve. They were men who leaned on one another when the guns boomed and drank together when the fighting ended. They were his type of men. Halsey did not choose the three destroyers based upon sentiment, however. He selected them because of the record they had amassed over the previous 3 years and because in the bleak months of late 1942...